I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Are you a Yeovil Town fan? Do you want to help shape the future of Yeovil Town Football Club? The Glovers Trust exists to give Yeovil Town fans a democratic voice in the running of the club. Our aim is to strengthen links between the club and the local community it serves, and to engage with as many Yeovil supporters as possible. So, join the Trust today, and together we can build a stronger Yeovil Town Football Club. To find out more and to become a member, visit glovers-trust.co.uk and follow us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.
And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
There's Lindegaard making Forrest backpedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil.
Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Madden, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead.
Stansfield, good turn away from Trott. Goal!
Welcome to another edition of the Glovers Cast. I'm back here with Mr. Ian Perkins and Mr. Ben Barrett. And to be honest, gents, I really don't know what we're going to talk about here. I mean, last 48 hours or so, there's not really been a great deal going on at Hewish Park, is there? I mean, anyone think anything that we could possibly talk about? Ian, do you get up to anything on Saturday?
No, we may as well knock this one on the head, I think, and just save our thoughts for Thursday.
Yeah, well, we're probably due, you know, a couple of sleeps on a few things, aren't we? So, let's just call it a night there.
Thanks very much. Good.
Thanks,
good,
lot. Yeah.
Good chat.
Cheers, lads. Bye.
And with a quick turn. Really.
Ian, are you going to put in the clip of the end, the outro audio there, and throw our people?
Yeah, I should do, shouldn't I? Yeah.
Can I just say, did anyone did you watch the montage at the beginning of the match on Saturday? I'm going to have to break the illusion now, aren't we? We do know there was a match on Saturday, honestly, really. With Alex Stock on there.
Yeah.
And he said, "Win or lose, the people of Yeovil will have a rattling good day out." And I think that is what we should have at the beginning of our intro: a rattling good day out.
We love a rattling good day out, I think.
We would love a rattling good day out. Well, did you have a rattlingly good Saturday after evening? We call that after
pre-evening.
Evening night.
Pre-evening.
Pre-evening. I had a great pre-evening.
It was. It seemed like a good evening.
It was
one of the better pre-evenings.
I would certainly say so. It just felt like it was one of those proper FA Cup ties, and I think going into it. You know, with all the stuff that was happening on social media beforehand, you know, I think I haven't celebrated a goal like Charlie Wakefield's in a long, long time, like the way I did for that goal, because it was, felt so needed. So needed. And it was a, you know, terrific finish. And yeah, the whole atmosphere in the stadium was like, really good. It was a really good atmosphere in the stadium. I don't know if that came across on TV. I think, you know, there was fewer people there than we'd probably like, but the people that were there were 100% behind the team and making a hell of a noise for the entire game. And yeah, brilliant, brilliant night. And, you know, when a third round tie in the FA Cup is up for grabs, you know, that's exactly, you know, we did exactly what we needed to do. We had our moments. We had the odd wobble here and there. Max Hunt thinking he was Franz Beckenbauer all of a sudden, and he does one Cruyff, and then that was a bit of a hairy moment. And, you know, they had, I wouldn't describe any of their chances as super clear cut. They had a couple of good ones where they were slightly wide of the goal that Smith had fairly comfortable saves to make, but oh, it was great. Although I did nearly have a heart attack when who was it? It was through on goal that Smith saved it from.
It's Reed, wasn't
Reed,
it?
Reed, yeah.
Jamie Reed, their striker.
I did have nearly have a heart attack at that moment in time.
Did you celebrate those as much as you did the Wakefield goal and Dan Moss's interception as well?
Yeah.
Did you celebrate that?
Yeah, obviously. And tackles and blocks and throw-ins, because it meant Tom Knowles was nearby. the arrival of Ruben Reid. I mean, I don't think Ruben Reid ever thought he'd get that reaction coming onto the pitch. It was, you know.
You should have seen me. Should have seen me. I was off my sofa, I tell you. I was clapping and screaming, "Woo, Ruben!" Yeah. And I don't know what Ben Barrett was up to, but I bet you it was something similar.
Not far away. I had both the children on my mind as well as the football, so I've had to go back and watch bits and pieces of it back. And I think the one thing I noticed about the goal specifically was it really does make a difference when you score in front of the Thatchers, doesn't it? If you're in the away, if that goal goes in the away end, it takes half a second for the rest of the ground to kind of figure it out and spot it and see it. When it's in the Thatchers and it's instantaneous. I know it was a bit of a cliched tweet from Emirates FA Cup saying, "Listen to the roar," but that really does make a noise when everyone goes up. It's a noise, and it's a noise that I don't quite. It's like we have our own, I don't know whether you call it almost a dialect of a cheer, but like whenever the other teams score at their grounds, it sounds different. I'm not sure it sounds quite as good, but when we score in front of the Thatchers, I feel like I've heard that. Yeah, almost like it's. Almost like the audio has been superimposed over the top of the images, and it's just stock audio that they use over and over again from those amazing moments. And that's one of those moments that, yeah, really, really nice. Really nice. A beautiful goal. Very, very classy goal. Teeny tiny bit of luck because the defender does have a little bit of a slip, doesn't he? But what just, he leathers that. He makes no mistake. He needs composure. He needs to take a moment. And he absolutely leathers the thing. Lovely little ball from Sonny Blue. But it comes from pressure. It comes from something that we've been so good at. Adam Smith, who maybe we'll touch on, not the greatest clearance he'll ever give in his life, but we have to put pressure on, get the ball back. Adi Youssef got the ball back and then goes to Sonny Blue. Nice little touch. Very, very simple. It would have been so easy. I happened to be sat down. My wife sat next to me at the time and she said, "Hit it." And I said, "No." "No, don't hit it. Just lay it off." He does lay it off, and Charlie Wakefield does the rest. It's a beautiful, beautiful goal that just shows exactly what we're capable of going forward.
Yeah, I think when Charlie Wakefield gets in that position, he just feels, I get quite confident when he picks the ball up there, because one, he just gets past people so easily. And as soon as he had that, I thought, it'll do him no problem. And then he's just with such venom in the strike. You know, once he's got past that man, he's just going to, you know, twat it as hard as he can and hope for the best. And yeah, it was great. And like you said, good little bit of play from Youssef. I'm not sure if it was a pass or a miscontrol. Sort of rolls through to Sonny, but it opened up brilliantly for Sonny. And I think the timing of his pass like had to be perfect. And he just held on to it long enough to then release Charlie Wakefield. But I think, you know, in at half time we said we were a little bit struggling going forward as per, but we needed to get Wakefield on the ball, and we saw a load more of him in the second half. We really sort of got it to his feet and got him going around people, and yeah, he had a good second half. They all had a good second half. I think, you know, I wasn't even against Dale Gorman taking shots from distance. Well up for it.
he nearly had a go right in there. Like, was it 20 seconds gone? He had a good chance, didn't he, Gorman? Mm. Where he hit one. That would have been a start. But,
and he looked up for it. He looked really up for it. And I don't know. You know, I'm getting a bit of a feeling that Dale Gorman's one of these players that when he's not in the team, we will notice more so than when he's in the team. Because I think he's got that, you know, he's not Lee Johnson, obviously, but he's got that way about him that he keeps things ticking over. He's always there. He runs around a lot. He gets in the way. And he's the type of player that when he's not around, and I mean, we drew with Dover with him out of the team, didn't we, because of his suspension. I just feel like he's that type of player for us, Dale, that, like, you notice him when he's not there.
Just harps back to that interview that was done with Darren Sahl, where he asked Charlie Lee who could replace him. And Charlie Lee said, you know exactly who you've got to go and get and replace him. It was Dale Gorman. And actually, we had the same conversations about Charlie Lee last year. There were question marks over Charlie Lee. Was he at his very best? Was he helpful to the side? Did we need him and Jimmy Smith and all the rest of it? But when he wasn't there, you didn't have to notice that he wasn't there. And like you say, if Dale Gorman's going down the same route, actually, that like-for-like replacement that it seems to have been is absolutely spot on.
Yeah, and he definitely, obviously, we didn't have Jordan Barnett, did we? Which was why I was pleased that we didn't score in front of the away fans, I should have said, because if you're going to do that, you really need Jordan Barnett there, won't you? But I did notice on a couple of occasions, I don't know if you saw this, Ben, but Dale Gorman was definitely giving him a bit of the wind-up, wasn't he? There was one moment where I think it was their fullback, went sort of like up to him and he just laughed in his face and walked off like that. And I just thought, yes, that's it, Dale. God, you know what you're doing there, don't you? But I thought Worthy had a good game as well. I thought Worthy.
I did as well. I did as well. Just sort of almost, you could be forgiven for not noticing Worthington.
Yeah.
But it was only once he did a couple of things that you, and then you watch him for 5 minutes and you think, Jesus, he's everywhere. So it's one of them little, I'm kind of glad you've called that out, actually, Dave, because that's a performance that I think could very easily go under the radar and not get noticed and just get 4 out of 7 and be like, okay, that was fine. But actually, it was better than that. It was genuinely better than that. He was everywhere. He was harrying. Jake Reeves in the middle of the park is a very, very good League Two player. And we'll add him to the increasingly long list of people that aren't getting a look in. And I'd chuck Elliot List on the list as well, because I didn't hear his name maybe twice, three times in commentary. So, yeah.
He had one header, didn't he, List? I think it was one free header that he had that he could have done better with. But other than that, and like I say, Jamie Reid, who's playing up front for him. I think he went to Mansfield, but he scored bagfuls for Torquay, I think.
Yeah.
And then he went to Mansfield, didn't have such a good time. But, you know, they're decent players as well, aren't they? So, but I thought, yeah, first half was pretty even, wasn't a great deal in it. But second half, I thought everybody said we deserved the win. I think even Paul Tisdale kind of said they deserved the win. He even said we had the better chances, but, you know, if you don't take your chances.
I think it's weird because if any Stevenage fan happens to have accidentally stumbled upon this podcast, I think Paul Tisdale is going to be a really good acquisition for them. I think they'll be absolutely fine in that league. And if we play them next season, it's because we've been promoted and not that they've been relegated.
Yeah.
They look so... if you've only got a few days to look after a team, you get your set pieces right. And I thought at set pieces, whether it be throw-ins, corners, free kicks, they always had a little bit of something about them. They always had a plan. They always had a scheduled set of sort of tactics to have a go at. And I thought we handled that incredibly well. I have no idea whether we knew that was going to be their method of attack, because it was the only thing that he could really influence in a few days. But I thought we dealt with that fairly comfortably throughout.
Yeah, and when you look at the way we have been defending, you know, we're set up to handle set pieces now, probably better than we have been in a long, long time. And I know we missed Jordan Barnett, but I think having Morgan Williams at left back was quite beneficial for us in those set pieces, because He's massive. And he, you know, he knows how to defend because he's a centre back. And I think, yeah, that unit, you know, we talk about every week how good that unit is, and they've proven it against a Football League club. Once again, how good they are.
Definitely. I don't think there's a massive difference between the top half of the National League and the bottom half of League Two. I think we've seen that, by the way, that teams that go down kind of stay down, teams that go up kind of stay up, and then sort of flip-flop between the two occasionally. But I don't think there's a massive difference. I don't think if we played them in a league game on Saturday, we'd see too much of a dissimilar performance. Doesn't take anything away from the performance, mind. You've still got to beat it. It's still the equivalent of playing a Dagenham, a Bromley and a Wrexham, and we did a lot of them. So, yeah, that it was really, really satisfying. And I still haven't seen us concede. I have no idea what it looks like to see Grant Smith pick a ball out of the back of the net. I haven't got a clue. I cannot picture it. It's never happened. It's never happened.
It's fake news. Every time we do concede, fake news.
Barnett's in Sheffield, isn't he, with his illness. So if we're going to get Barnett back for Barnett, maybe he can give Ben a lift down for the game as well, and then he can he can stay there.
Be nice.
I'd love to see you drive down with Jordan Barnett. I bet he drives like me. Screaming at average speed cameras as he drives down the M1.
just flipping the bird to anyone who will be bypassed.
I bet you two have nothing in common.
No, I'm sure. I haven't got a tattoo on the back of my neck or anything.
You don't tell the HGVs to shush as you go by either.
Oh, you would as well, but
just him shushing at lorries. Brilliant. Brilliant.
To do that performance, I think, so quickly after Wrexham, because there was a real danger for me of after the Lord Mayor's show. Those three away games in a row culminating in that Wrexham performance was, I mean, look, we've sung the praises. I'm gutted I couldn't be there on Thursday to talk about Wrexham. But that was sensational. That I keep thinking I'm over-egging that Wrexham performance. I keep thinking one of these days I'm going to sort of realise that it was just all right and Wrexham were a bit at naff and all the rest of it. No, I stand by it. That was special. That's going in the list. That's going in the in those magic away days. And I hope the 103 really enjoyed that away day. And I know you did, Dave, from listening to the podcast. So I felt that there was a real danger of after the Lord Mayor's show of not being able to quite put it back in that home thing where we don't quite seem to click at home perfectly like we do away from home. There was always that danger, new manager bounce. I was a little bit concerned that we'd put in a good show, but maybe not quite get the job done. So to put in that kind of a performance that's been a bit of a copy and paste, battle, Harry, make them make errors, hurry and hustle and bustle and make things happen, take your chance and then defend for your life. It's been a bit copy and paste, but it's working so far. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I was, topped off a magical few days on the football pitch. Wonderful. Really, really wonderful. And who knows where it might lead us tomorrow night or tonight as you're listening to this in with regards to a draw.
Yeah, I suppose that's... Well, go on, Dave.
I was just going to say, Ben, you were definitely there on Thursday night, Friday morning, because when I listened back to the podcast, I did. You put a massive smile on my face listening to you and Sheridan's commentary. Obviously, I didn't hear it, but it was brilliant. I just loved the, oh, Sheridan Robbins, what about this? And then she was like, oh, Ben Barrett, what now?
So on the first one, she full named me. So I just thought I'd full name back. That's absolutely fine. It was one that we, I don't know, maybe we weren't quite expecting that. We weren't quite expecting that first goal. And she just hands to me and I just go on this rant about this incredible delivery from Jordan Barnett. I don't think that the actual delivery gets talked about enough.
No, it
is a ridiculous ball in, by the way. And my boy Josh, with the coolest.
If you're praising someone over Josh Staunton for that goal, that means something. That really does.
Yeah, that's how good the ball was. That's how good the delivery was. And it's a heck of a finish, by the way. Also, by the way, if you're listening, Sam Collard, that Josh Staunton goal was in November and it didn't make your November goal of the month montage. Sort that out. I know you had four other worldies. But what a finish. Yeah. So, yeah.
Although credit to Sam Collard for his tweet when Sonny scored. Oh. It's always sunny.
Oh,
it's always sunny.
Chef's kiss. Mwah. The stars aligned. The social media stars aligned for him.
And I think he took dropped some salt on his phone as well after he.
have we all seen the alternative highlights that Wrexham posted?
Yeah, well, I saw some highlights. Yeah.
So they did their normal highlights, of which you can hear the commentator and stuff, like the stuff that we've then taken. But they did like an alternative. It's called like Triple A.
Oh no!
Try and dig it out. It's on social media. I think I retweeted it. They are basically, it's a PR disaster because they're trying to like slow down the moments that are controversial. And like the camera follows the ref off the pitch at full time and it gives it the big one and all the rest of it. So, and they cut away very quickly from our goals. It's like, oh yeah, but it's gone, it's fine. So they show the apparent elbow from Dale Gorman on Ponticelli. And it just shows that Dale Gorman is just bigger and stronger, basically. That's all it shows. And thanks for slowing that down. And then it shows the elbow on Dan Moss, which is an absolute Stonewall red card elbow. And they're like trying to make out like it wasn't a foul, and it clearly was. it just didn't work for them. They really didn't. Yeah. How, by the way, if the Wrexham fan who happened to be sat in front of the press box happens to have stumbled across this podcast, I want to say I'm sorry, mate, but I'm really, really not. You spent most of the match looking at me rather than the match.
Did you get so, looks, did you? I wondered what the atmosphere was going to be like around you with your...
They did not like me. They didn't like Sheridan. They didn't like me. So at the start, see, Sheridan and I both prefer to stand when we commentate, but there's fans behind you at Wrexham. And so from like the second minute, we were getting tapped going, can you sit down? Can you sit down? And we were like, ugh. So it meant that I couldn't really move, and I couldn't move the microphone away from me an awful lot, which when I was sort of making my oohs and ahs, I prefer to have the microphone away from me. So I couldn't really do that. I couldn't really get going. And then when we scored, yeah, you heard the high pitch cackle. And yes, I got some looks. I'm just grateful they were just looks rather than punches, to be honest.
Yeah. But obviously the slowed down red card that everyone screamed was not a red card. They appealed it and it got rejected. So maybe it was a red card after all.
Well, apparently only one person in the ground thought it was a red card, and that was the referee. Well, unfortunately, there was a panel of people outside the ground who also thought it was a red card. So yeah. Sit down, Phil Parkinson, you idiot.
I told him to sit down on the night as well, yeah.
Yeah.
And do something else, but I won't.
Do you think we're avoiding talking about anything?
Nope.
No? I now know all the words to the Charlie Wakefield song.
Do you?
I'm not listening it for you. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know the words to the Charlie Wakefield song.
Yeah, I could do with a...
Well, Watsy sang it to me on a voice note. Can I give you his voice note? And you can.
Yeah, you can.
Oh, Darren, don't you know what he's worth? Charlie Wakefield's the best on earth. A silky winger, just what we need. He'll win Yeovil the National League.
I mean, that is up there as probably one
can
of
you
the...
Can you cut in some applause there, please, yeah? Or Simon Cowell going, it's a no from me.
That's up there. Yeah. That's one of the best chants.
Yeah? I was quite impressed. I didn't... It was just the middle bit. I got a silky winger, but then I couldn't figure out what it was. Yeah, but he's just what we need.
He is a silky winger, and he's just what we need.
He's a bit Lawson Diaz in that if he hadn't had injuries, he wouldn't be anywhere near this team.
No.
He'd be much higher, probably knocking on the door of get that Coventry side he couldn't quite get into. So yeah, let's enjoy him while we got him, because yeah, he ain't hanging around the National League for very long.
Yeah, but to your point, Ian, there are 1,413 other things that I can think to talk about, and that is me cut and pasting a statement from the official website into word count, and that's how many words it comes up with, 1,413 words from our chairman, Mr. Scott Priestnell.
Blimey, is it that long?
It's 8,134 characters, 44 sentences, 15 paragraphs, and it says reading level college student. So there you go.
What does it say for the writing level?
It says reading time, 5 minutes, 8 seconds. Speaking time, 7 minutes, 51 seconds. I won't read it all out because that will obviously take a very long time.
Can I just say, I'm really, really surprised that our chairman and owner has gone to that much trouble to show that much disdain about the fact that Toby Stevens was an unused substitute for Hemel Hempstead.
That is, where is that? That's in there.
I just think that's, I think that he's gone to so much effort there, and fair play to him for it. Fair play to him, because I'm upset as well.
You've got to back the lad, haven't you?
I know. So yeah, it's time to talk about it, Hemel. But you don't cut time in the FA Trophy and then bench the fella.
That's the one. So, that's the one thing you look forward to writing each week, is the Toby Stevens loan report.
Up to now.
And now what am I going to do? Didn't play. End of. Sorted. Yeah. So let's talk about it. What are we going to do? Are we going to recall him, or are we going to are we going to let him stay there? Are we going to extend it to the end of the season? Try and get him a run in the team. How do we approach? No, you.
Well, we can bring.
The thing is, I don't think Ben's joking, is he? I think this is really what he wants to talk about.
Well, I asked the manager at his press conference, and I'm not going to call it the gaffer's presser, that he'd got good feedback, and then he goes and benches the fella and doesn't bring him on. They had a big win against Dulwich Hamlet. Doesn't bring him on. Doesn't use him. Fuming.
They did win, though.
Yeah, but without Toby.
Yeah.
Is it get him win? Back. Course get him back. We can't use him in the trophy. So get him back for the Somerset Premier Cup.
That's the one thing we're looking for.
It's the big one, yeah.
But yeah.
I mean, should we be looking for the FA Cup now?
Well,
I suppose if we've got him as well.
Yeah. Yeah, can a squad of 14 win the FA Cup?
The quadruple's on, kids. The quadruple is on.
Still on. And we're still managing to move away from what Dave's trying to bring us to as well, which is good.
Well, yes. There were two statements actually issued yesterday, weren't they, on Sunday? There were two statements. There was one statement from an organisation known as the Glovers Trust, which some of us on this podcast may have heard of, which said Scott Priestnell, Glenn Collis, Julian Jenkins, whoever, all these, you know, and the thing that I find really strange when I was writing an article for the website is nobody's actually said that Glenn Collis and Julian Jenkins are the people who are involved in this takeover. I don't think I've read or seen that anywhere, which sums up the whole situation, I think. But there was a call for clarity. There was a call for someone to come out and say something. And I'm the first person to give Scott Priestnell a hard time when he says something wrong. What you cannot criticize Scott Priestnell here for is he has come out and said something. He's come out and said an awful lot, 1,413 words, as I keep going back to, 8,134 characters to be precise. But and he has used the word club 28 times and supporters 14 times. So, and deal 7 times. But yeah, so there is a long statement which you can read on the website, on the club's website in full, which basically, well, so if I had to order these things in priority, he's saying the bidders, the parties, both parties have until the end of the week to finalise a deal. He says he doesn't want to sell the club, or he hasn't ever wanted to sell the club, but he did do a deal many months ago with both parties. And he also has a bit of a pop. Well, I think a bit of a pop is being polite.
Gentle,
I just Ben's eating crisps on mute here, and he just gave me a look as if to say what. Yeah so he has had a pop at the Glovers Trust, basically saying that, well, he doesn't think that they don't have any positive activities, apparently. So but I mean, I would counter that by saying that the Glovers Trust are the only organization has said anything. I mean, in fairness, the Supporters Alliance Group did issue a statement as well, which I know the Glovers Trust is part of. So you know, but the Glovers Trust has been the one group of people who have been talking. And I know Scott Priestnell says, well, I'm not just going to repeatedly say there's nothing to say, but you can tell from the outpouring of emotion that has come out through these 1,413 words that he's obviously had a lot to say. So you know, it is a bit of a shame it's taken it till this, but what happens next? That's the big thing, isn't it? What does happen next?
Well, at least we'll get some certainty in the next 7 days then.
Well, next 7 days seem like there's going to be some certainty, doesn't there? And I would say now it is down to the parties, both parties, whoever you parties are, we think we know who you are, but no one's actually ever said it. But it's down to them. It's down to them to do something. And it's down to Scott Priestnell, who has the best interest of the club at heart, as he has repeatedly told us, to do whatever is in the best interest of the football club. We as fans can't do anything more than we've done. We're in your hands now, ladies and gentlemen. Gentlemen, assuming there are ladies and gentlemen involved, I don't know. But people, it's over to you. There you go, I've said my bit.
I mean, it's always been, you know, for a long time, it's been down to them to come out and talk. And I think no one hates that things like this have to go out this way, more so than me. But how have we reached this stage that we can't say anything? And then the statement comes out and it's all very, you know, very attacking, contradictory, you know, self-aggrandizing again. And it's like,
honestly, ladies and gentlemen, I wish you could see Ben's reactions to some of the words here. They're brilliant. Self-aggrandizing, his eyebrows went right off the scale there.
but he comes out like it's almost like he feels like he never had to say anything to me. That's what I feel like it comes across as, like, I don't, you know, yeah, well, this is going on, but I shouldn't have to say anything. It's like, you're the fucking owner of the football club. Like, your silence and the absence of anything from you meaningful since July. Was July the last update, the YouTube video?
Yeah, that was just before the season started.
Like, nothing. Yeah. Not even a well done, lads, on Twitter after a win.
Yeah.
Like, just, you know, it doesn't stack up. And I get people can say it's hypocritical of, you know, groups also not saying anything or timing things. But the fact of the matter is, when you are in a position of owning a football club with 125 years of history that serves a community of, you know, 70,000 people and the rest of the people who no longer live in Yeovil, like yourselves, like, you have a responsibility and a duty of care to that institution and the people. And he is totally negligent on that part, like, totally negligent. And I don't know, I think you can see from the reaction to the, how many words? 1,413?
13, that's right, yeah.
Word rant / statement. I think you can see that the people have had enough. I really feel like the, you know, the reaction to it will speak volumes, and, you know, fingers crossed, a deal is done, and his bullshit about a vision for what did he say? A vision for a community club or some fucking nonsense.
So he talks about I do feel the need to respond on, not on behalf of Scott Priestnell, but at least put across some of the things that he is saying here in his statement. And I'm not going to read it all, but he does say that he will present supporters a long-term vision and plan to improve this club for future generations. And one thing I would say is, why are you waiting till now do that?
Well, go,
you
know, back what, and listen to the podcast, the interview I did with him in the summer of 2020, where he said he doesn't believe in long-term plans, doesn't believe in a, you know, a five-year plan.
Yeah,
no fucking shit.
Well, yeah, so he says so he talks about a long-term plan. He talks about his being bitterly disappointed at the social media criticism toward himself, but then says, you know, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. He talks about the fact that, you know, without the funds from Sport England, we wouldn't be here today. He talks about the fact, you know, that he's, And this was one thing that slightly confused me, because everybody has seen these company statements, and we've all tried to guess what they, you know, what they were, and try and figure out. Well, none of us are accountants, are we? None of us really know what we're talking about.
Well, some people are accountants, Dave.
Well, yeah, some people are accountants, but nobody that I've seen particularly write anything about this are accountants. But so he talks about how the actual reason for the changes is to write off more than £1 million of shareholder loans across the two holding companies. And then he said, something you would think supporters would be happy of it, but yet again, there is a minority breeding in negativity. So, Scott, why didn't you come out and say this? If this is such a positive thing that is happening, why is there not a statement about that? There was a statement when you took on, you know, you upped the loan, the Sport England loan, saying we absolutely had to do it. If this is such a good thing, why didn't you come out and do it? I mean, I'm trying to look at this in the interest of balance, in a balanced way, but I do think that there is, you know, he hasn't helped this. He hasn't helped himself in this whatsoever. And then to come out with this, say, keep joking about 1,400 words or whatever, but just this rant, it's just doesn't seem like a professional way to do it. And I've heard people say, you know, why should he be putting his money into the club, you know, if this is the response. And he says it here, why would I invest my family and children's money somewhere where I'm not wanted? Because you bought the football club, mate. You know, if you didn't want to buy a football club, if you didn't want this responsibility, you shouldn't have done it. I mean, I'm sure Scott Priestnell is not a naive person. Yeah, he's old enough to realise. But if you invest in football club, you're not always going to be popular. You're not always going to be someone that people come and, you know, bow down and say what a wonderful job you're doing. You know, this is part of the deal, and you've not helped yourself by not coming out and saying something. Like I said. As I said at the beginning, he's come out and said something now. Really sure that it's helped the situation a bit, but there is enough in there to feel that, as we said, 7 days. There are now 7 days to see what these consortiums have, and it is down to those people. I put a tweet the other day. I think there's probably about 6 people in the world who actually know what's going on. Scott Priestnell is one of them. Yeah, and he's come out and said an awful lot. Now over to, you know, to the other people. The other people have got to do something. Actions rather than words, I think, but certainly by the sounds of it anyway. It's time for something to happen, I think. Ben, how are your crisps?
Anything to add?
Delightful.
What flavour were they again? Balsamic?
Yes, sea salt and balsamic vinegar. Little cheap versions. Okay. Yeah, I do have something to add. This little run that we've been on, these 3 away games, these wins, this little run, this what this team are doing, have, at times, this last month, kept me going. Because it's been a bit crap, hasn't it? I don't know if you've noticed. I don't know if you've looked outside recently. But it's been a bit crap. We're all back in masks again. We're all under restrictions. Christmas parties are getting sort of downsized and people aren't enjoying things like they should be enjoying. My Christmas rota is maybe not as kind as it could be, so I'm not going home for Christmas anymore. That's cheesed me off. My daughter's a bit snotty and bunged up and ill. I'm not feeling particularly great.
You only got an hour's sleep last night.
Maximum 90 minutes, and then I had to walk 7 kilometres to work and do an 8-hour shift. So I'm not feeling particularly great. And this football club, those bastard gloves, have at times kept me going. And it's ruined it. This last 48 hours has ruined all of it. Every little bit of it. And do you know who comes out of it looking good? The square root of no one. Nobody comes out of this looking good. And Ian, you're going to have to forgive me here, mate. I don't particularly think even the Trust come out of this looking particularly amazing, mate. And I know it's probably because you're hamstrung and there are things you can't say but want to say. And I know that there's things like that that haven't done particularly well, but I don't think they come out of this looking like roses. Scott Priestnell looks like the worst human being on the face of the planet right now. I'm sure it's probably not that level of horrendousness, but I think the fact that we've heard nothing from Party A and Party B call them by their names if you want to call them by their names. But those two
I don't know what their names are.
Yeah, and do you know what?
No one's told me what their names are. We're just guessing, aren't we? Well, we just rumour.
And I know there's NDAs and stuff about, but those things expire and come up. Neither of those come particularly out of this looking amazing. The supporters who are staying away have now been told that they're the problem, so they're not looking amazing. The supporters who are going are making an almighty racket, but are being told they need more. We need more. Where's more? Who's next? Come on, bring people along. So they're not looking amazing. Nobody comes out of this looking good. And I'll be honest with you, lads. I'm a bit fucking tired of the whole thing. The whole thing. I'm bored. Ian, you have been fantastic at keeping your cards close to your chest because you have this double hat on. You have your trust hat on and you have your Glover's Cast hat on. And I can honestly say, listeners, hand on heart, no matter how much Dave and I push him, he doesn't say anything because he knows he's not allowed to say anything. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't tell us when he's got little bits and pieces of secrets. He doesn't tell us when he's been in a meeting. He just doesn't say anything because he can't, and he knows he can't, and he's a responsible Glover's truster.
He's learned the Fifth Amendment just so he can repeat it to us.
Exactly.
The advice of my counsel, I respectfully decline to answer your question.
And it's just been, I asked you ages ago, I said, come on, give me something. I said, if this was a 400-meter race with the finish line being the point at which we're taken over by somebody, how far are we in? And you didn't answer. You didn't give me nothing. Nada. And all I'll say is, I'm a fat fuck and I can run 400 meters faster than this. And it's just, honestly, I'm tired. And it's ruined what should have been a magical fucking week for me.
Yeah.
No one is more tired of writing stuff than me. Yeah.
We're gonna get Ben Charlie Wakefield's goal, Grant Smith's save, and Dan Moss's intervention. We're gonna put it on a loop and we're just gonna play the commentary to him through his headphones whilst he goes to sleep for more than 90 minutes tonight. That's what we're gonna do.
He's
gonna wake up with a little smile on his face instead of a
Let's get Josh Staunton's finish
as
well.
Yeah, come on, Josh. Ben needs a hug. Come and give him a hug.
Should we do some questions? I
love that.
Should we do some questions?
I love it. Yeah. But yeah.
Who do you want?
I think we can all, everybody who's listening this, whatever you feel about anybody, whether you think, Scott Priestner is the right thing, the wrong thing, if other people are the right thing, the wrong thing, I think we can all agree that we're fed up with it. We're tired of it. Nobody wants this anymore.
It's my birthday on Wednesday, so if something can happen on Wednesday, that would be
there you go.
The total dream, wouldn't it?
Happy birthday.
Here's the thing I would say, by the way. Right, I'm not going to sit here and defend Scott Priestner for all that he has or hasn't done. But I'm sat there searching on social media, and I've tried to be positive, and we tried to sort of give the stories out from Dan Moss and Charlie Wakefield post the game and stuff. And, I did a tweet about Adam Smith, and it was very popular amongst people because it was a lovely thing that he did at halftime. And all of that has been swamped away by abuse. What good is 14-year-old fucking no one gives a shit doing in his mum's back bedroom tweeting Scott Priestner and telling him he's this, that, and the other? Oh, I've got what now? Dave down the not Dave, bad name to use. Now little
Don't bring
Jimmy.
Me into this.
Now little Jimmy, 14-year-old whoever, has tweeted me saying sell the club because I'm a this, that, and the other. Well, now I'm going to do it. I wish you'd done this sooner. I mean, have a moment of decorum. There has to be ways and means of going about this. There has to be. I don't know which ways and means they are, but be better than that, Yeovil fans, please. We're all tired, and we're all done with this, and we're all worried that things like administration would ruin a playoff push and things like that. And we're all looking at the draw tomorrow, thinking, "Geez, if we get Barrow away as opposed to Man City away, is that it? Is that the difference?" And yeah,
can I just add to this that no one knows, like Dave said, only six, I don't know about
I'm
six
guessing
people.
Six.
Like a handful of people know warts and all what is happening. So taking what Anonymous Joe on Twitter or Facebook posts as a gospel, and that is what's happening. No one who knows will be sharing it on Facebook, on their YouTube channels, on anything. You know, I don't know what's going on. So why does, you know, why does whoever on social media know that X, Y, and Z is happening? And today's the day. They don't know.
How many times have you heard today's the day?
Yeah.
The longest 72 hours. Everything's 72 hours away from completion.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
If only they had a Yeovil Town-based podcast that someone could maybe come on and talk to and give a detailed explanation of exactly what's happening at some point. Imagine if that podcast ran twice a week and spoke to hundreds and hundreds of people each and every week and got thousands of views on a website each and every single week and run articles and features and ran special podcasts and other podcasts. If only that thing, such thing existed.
Someone should be Yeovil fans.
Yeah, someone should. There's a niche there, if anything else.
Yeah. Yeah.
And whether it's person A in charge, party A, party B, party C, D, E, F, G, or S Club fucking party, you're more than welcome to come and talk to us here on the Glovers Cast and tell us what the heck is going on.
And he's very sweary tonight, isn't he?
I'm sorry. Do you know what? I'm sorry. I've had a Jim Beam and some salt and vinegar crisps. And I, you know, I'm on the verge of freaking breaking down in tears of tiredness.
That's probably the most.
Just sheer exhaustion at what is going on. I'm just so tired. It's ruined it. Yeah. I didn't want to do this podcast. I nearly didn't do it. I nearly didn't come on this podcast just out of exhaustion of it all. I didn't want to do this. That's sad. That's so sad. After everything we've done, after the chat that Dave did, the first ever Glovers passed from the Glovers cast that went down so bloody well. And suddenly I'm sat there thinking, not sure I really want to do that tonight. For the first time ever, not sure I really want to go on.
But you're here, mate. You're here.
Yeah, I am.
Showing commitment to the cause.
Me and my mate Jim.
Yeah.
It's like two of the most normal things I've heard you eat, really, Ben. Or eat and drink.
Oh, dear.
Did you soak the crisps in Jim Beam before you ate them?
Oh, no, I shouldn't have done that.
Can you imagine how much swearing there would have been if he'd have done that?
That's not nice. And I know we get people that are underage and stuff listening to this. And if you're offended, I am genuinely sorry. But I'm wound up and I don't know how else to get it out, really, without... I don't want to abuse individual people, and so I can abuse these two instead.
Abuse away. Can't blow up.
Shall we finish the podcast by saying who we would eat like in the next round of the FA Cup?
I was going to say, have we got some questions?
Oh, we have got questions, haven't we? Well, have we got questions? We did ask for questions, and we asked people to tell us who they wanted in the FA Cup. That would have been a much better way to end it, wouldn't it? But rapidly trying.
I'm here. Green and white goals would 100% take Bristol Rovers at home and the opportunity for some epic Jordan Barnett shithousery.
Oh, imagine if we sacked Barton. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Is he still there? I thought he'd gone.
No, he might have done. He might well be at his Majesty's pleasure at some point or another, but yes, he's still employed by them officially.
Yeah.
Yes,
that would be lovely.
Matt Crivelli wants Derby away. I wonder if that's location-based.
That's geography, yeah. Got to be.
Very much location-based. I'm all in favour of Craig McCann's shout of Newcastle. I've never been to St James's Park, and I know it's a very long way from where you are in the southwest, and it's a very long way from where I am.
Be much further, really, Dave.
No. But Newcastle away would be a good one. I'd probably say Newcastle or Spurs for me away, either one of them.
Fancy a bit of Ellen Road, not gonna lie.
Yeah.
We fancy a bit of Ellen Road.
Bragging rights in the Barrett household.
Yeah, we've played them six times, I think it is, in league games. I think we've outplayed them six times. I think we've got 1 point to show for it.
Yeah, you've never had bragging rights in that situation, have you?
We've outplayed them six times. I'm sure I saw us lose 4-0 at Ellen Road.
Yeah, and we were brilliant.
With Josh Wagner in goal.
Hey, we were brilliant that day.
We got turned over that day.
Neil Kilkenny scored a wonder goal, and Jermaine Beckford had one of the nights of his life. That's fine. We played very well that night.
We were shite. We were shite when we played him in the championship, and Stephen Warnock scored from the halfway.
Just give me, oi, give me this.
Yeah, go ahead. Don't push him.
Yeah,
don't
we were brilliant in that 4-0 loss. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'd like Arsenal. I'd like a big away game.
Yeah. You get a good what do you call it? Allocation there, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
At the Emirates, I imagine.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one scrapping around for tickets and people saying you're not a real supporter. I'm a real supporter. You wouldn't have any of that. No. That's what I don't want, is people getting into that.
Yeah, it would be nice to not have the bullshit of plastics versus non-plastics and all of that going on at Huish Park again, because it is real. The struggle is real. Jude Horsepool would like Brentford away.
I'm sure they'd love to see us again.
Yeah.
New stadium's really nice, apparently, so I'm not adverse to that.
And Palace Glover amazingly wants Palace away. There we go. But I can't see any more.
Who do you think we're going to get?
Kidderminster.
Do you know what? There's part of me that might take that. So half fancy the fourth round.
Yeah.
I think we're going to get stuffed here. I think we're going to get Barrow or Hartlepool away.
Jack.
Yeah.
I'm going to say geographically, it does work for me.
But
I could live without going to either Barrow or Hartlepool. I promise you.
It works quite nicely for you or I, but not for the people that actually need to sort of be there.
Well, as I point out to them, there's a coach there ready for that. All they have to do is sit on a coach for, admittedly, for 4 hours. If someone wanted to put a coach on for me, I'll go wherever you want.
People need to be putting a coach on for me.
I have to shout at average speed cameras all for hours.
It might be cheaper to hire a coach for yourself than drive to and from some places.
Might be, yeah. Might be.
It should be me that gets the coach. I'm the one that hasn't seen us concede. I should be getting a share of Grant Smith's clean sheet bonus.
I have to say, I do know my way to Ben's house quite well, although having not been there for a very long time to pick him up, as he's self-sufficient these days. There's many times I do remember going Preston to Leeds to Watford, which was far from the most direct route to get there, but we did see a 3-0 win that day as well, didn't we, at Watford?
Was that do you mind swinging by on your way?
Exactly, a little bit.
Yeah,
there were a couple of them. Yeah.
Conveniently overlooking by the fact that you have to swing back around again as well afterwards.
There are some others. Brad Little, what's your favourite football? Your favourite footballer names? Jazzy Barnum Bob is elite.
Barnum Bob is a good one.
Sonny Blue Low Everson's right up there.
Yeah.
He's no naughty naughty, but he's...
Yeah, naughty naughty's a good one. Yeah.
I like Max Power. That's quite a comic book name.
I did Google this just to see if there were any really good ones. You want to know the best one I saw?
Yeah.
Playing in the Zimbabwean football, Dangerous Ballpence. Now that is a name, my friend. Dangerous Ballpence. You wouldn't want to come up against him. He's defender as well, apparently. So
there we go. Ciao. Dangerous Ballpence wins it, I think.
Yeah, let's get him on.
And Foxy would like to know what your karaoke song of choice is.
Ben's already quoted S Club, so I'm wondering if he's going for that.
No, I wouldn't. I'd need several more Jim Beams.
Yeah.
I'm not much of a karaoke person, but I feel like I might go for either, and these are very two different ends of the spectrum, either Lou Bega Mambo Number 5 or Louis Armstrong, It's a Wonderful World, depending on how I'm feeling at the time.
Those are two very different ends of the spectrum, aren't they? Well, I've already done Charlie Wakefield's The Best on Earth, so I think I've answered the question there.
You've done ABBA previously as well on...
I have, yeah.
Podcast, so...
The only karaoke that I ever did well was I did Bohemian Rhapsody to a very drunk student union, and everybody joined in. I think that was why it was so good.
You just said you did it well. Freddie Mercury is there, standing
ovation. Yeah, I've got a standing ovation from the long since passed Freddie Mercury.
Now,
what are you in?
I can't remember the last time I did karaoke, but I do recall a long time ago at Hewish Park, actually, during Easter. You know, they used to do like the Easter soccer school or something like that. And
the Green Machine.
Yeah, there was a party on the Friday, and I believe that we successfully sang the Westlife cover of the Billy Joel song Uptown Girl, which, if I do recall correctly, went down very well. So, yeah, we'll go with Uptown Girl by Westlife rather than Billy Joel.
I would also throw in that I am occasionally partial to a little bit of a Shaggy Angel. I normally play the Shaggy role, and someone else has to play the role of the other person, Ravon, I think his name is. There's a story behind that, but only some people know it, and that's how it should stay.
There were always songs like during like pre-drinks and stuff that always, you know, got a reaction. Robbie Williams, Angels, Oasis, any Oasis song.
It's a bright side. Gets people going, yes. Doesn't it?
Yeah, except on a Tuesday night against Maidenhead.
There's little bright side to this.
Very good. And I think, sorry listeners, but we're not going to go into all the questions about emergency.
We've already spoken about that enough.
Emergency meetings and all these sort of things, because we're all tired.
And it's going over stuff that has been going over before. What can I add? What can we add now?
Yeah,
that's going to suddenly enlighten the world. I mean, and I'm sorry that we can't, because I know people listen to this and think, oh, I wonder what these guys think, and oh, I wonder if they think what I think. But what can we add? The ball is in other people's court now. That's what we need. And all I would say, and Ian may scold me for this, but if there are people out there that want a voice, there's a podcast here that would talk to somebody if they needed a voice and a platform to talk to somebody and to get a message out to supporters. So we're here. You know where we are. Ian@gloverscast.co.uk would do the job, I think.
Or Ben@gloverscast.co.uk.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah,
or
Ben,
Dave at gloverscast.co.uk. Or gloverscast@gmail.com.
Bring it on.
Yeah.
I'll speak to anyone, mate. I haven't got anything better to do.
But enjoy the cup draw later today. And fingers crossed, it's a big one. And we'll speak to you all on Thursday, Friday for you, Thursday for us, ahead of Barnet. That'll be a fun game as well, won't it?
Yeah. Not Jordan.
No, but hopefully he'll be there. Cheers, everyone.
Yeah. Bye.
Cheers.
And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
There's Lindegaard making Forrest back pedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil.
Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Madden, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead.
Stansfield, good turn away from Trott. Goal!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.